thankful for the privilege of prayer to have the voice of, or the ear of the Lord, to be able to listen to my humble pleas is just awe-inspiring. I love the Lord today. There's a passage on my heart that I have read here before, and probably have read on multiple occasions, yet the Lord has impressed my heart to deliver it this morning, and that is the 19th Psalm. I encourage you, if you have a copy of Scripture, to open it and read along with us as we read. This is a beautiful poem written by David that we know these were sung. And I know people have set many of these to music and sung them. I don't know if they've done this to the 19th Psalm or not, but if they have, I want to get a hold of it. So I find it to be a beautiful, beautifully written, obviously inspired of God, and I pray that we would learn from it today. Psalm 19. Again, I ask for your continued interest in your prayers. I feel full today. I feel the presence of the Lord, and I'm thankful for that. I feel more emotional than I typically am, and so that's fine as long as it doesn't detract from the Word of God. And so I pray that I would be, again, honest as I've instructed you to be. But at the same time, I don't want anything to distract from God's Word today. So pray for me in that. Let's read Psalm 19 together, beginning in verse 1. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech, nor language, where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Amen. Thankful for the reading of God's word this morning, for the truths contained in it, and for the presence of the Holy Spirit that is certainly at work today. Let's bow in prayer. God, we come to you once again this morning with a complete understanding that your word is a spiritually discerned book. And without the Spirit of God to enlighten our minds and to prepare our hearts and to apply it in our lives, God, we would not be able to pull from it what we should. And so today we fall at your feet and ask you, God, that you would teach us, that you would grow us, that you would mold us, that you'd make us into the servants of Christ that we desire to be. Lord, we thank you for your word. The richness of it, God, never fails to leave me in awe. God, the words that we read, I pray that they wouldn't just be words that we've read, but God, that we would see the beauty in them, that your Holy Spirit would reveal their truths and their weight to us. And God, each time we dig into the treasure of your word, I know that we do not reach the depths of all that is contained therein. And I never will, Lord. But Lord, may they feed our souls.
May they transform our minds. And may you do that great spiritual work that only you can do through your word. Lord, I love you today. You know my heart is full, and I pray that you would use me for your glory today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Well, you know I'm going to say it, so I'm going to say it anyway. This is one of my favorite psalms. It's kind of lost its meaning, I know, because I say it about everything. But certainly, again, I find myself just in awe of the Word of God and how it knows us so much. You know, I guess I shouldn't be surprised by that, because I believe wholeheartedly that this book is breathed by God, that it's not a book just written by the intellectual abilities of men, but that God moved through men, moved by His Holy Spirit, and inspired them to pen these words. And in doing so, over thousands of years and many authors, God penned the very words that He desired to be penned. And today we are reading not reading a secular book, but we are reading the inspired, breathed Word of God. And in that, I am always left in awe how God knows my heart. And many people like to complain or give criticism of the Bible, that it is an ancient book written over, many centuries ago, and it doesn't relate to any of our life. And I argue with them and say, have you ever read it before? Right? I think people like to say those things and give those criticisms without ever actually reading the Bible for themselves. And it is amazing how God's Word knows us in the very moment in which we live, in the generation that surrounds us, and He speaks directly to us. And I am awe of that today. Today, I want to kind of divide our studies in this passage into three sections. And those would be look up, look down, and look in. Look up, look down, and look in. As you read this psalm, it's pretty clearly divided. Some people divide it into two sections, and some divide it into three. Today we're going to divide it into three, the first being look up, the first six verses talking about God and creation and all that He has done by His miraculous power. And then we are going to look down, as the Bible in Psalm 19 discusses the words of God, the will of God revealed to us through His written word. And so we're going to look up to God and His majesty and all that He has done and the power of His might. We are going to look down at the inspired Word of God, that sovereign God, that majestic God has spoken and revealed Himself to us, not only in what He has created, but in what He has given us in the Word of God and how He speaks and uses God's Word in our lives. And so we're going to look down in His Word. And then lastly, we're going to look in. We're going to look inward at ourselves and see what this has to say for ourselves. And I think that is the proper way to do it. Because oftentimes we want to look in first. And when we look in first and we consider our lives and our actions and the things going on around about us, if it is not in perspective of God and His Word, then we don't look correctly at ourselves. We have a tendency to justify ourselves. We have a tendency to sugarcoat some about our lives and the things that are going on. We have an ability, society's voice that speaks to us and manipulates our mind and our heart. If we don't look to God and to His Word as we look to ourselves, we will see it wrong. And so we got to look up. We got to see God and who He is and all that He is. We got to see what He said to us in His Word, because He has spoken to us in a word that is true and right and sure and clean. And when we see Him, then we can see ourselves. And that last verse, I love it. It says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. That is my prayer every time I step behind this pulpit, or every time I am speaking the words of God in personal evangelism, or I am brought into someone's life and I'm trying to share with them the truths of God's Word. I pray in my heart, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. And I think you can't get to verse 14 until you first covered the rest. And so we're going to first look up. We're going to look up verses 1 through 6. Let's go ahead and reread those real quickly. I don't mean to wear your patience, but I want to refocus our attention on those first six verses. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle, or a tent, for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. David, this is a psalm of David. We're told that in the introduction of Psalm 19. I should have read it. It says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. So we don't know much about the immediate context of this psalm, but we do know that it was a psalm of David. And David, in these first six verses, is clearly has his eyes fixed on heaven. He has his eyes fixed on God. And he says, the heavens declare the glory of God. And when he talks about the heavens there, he's not talking about the throne room of God or the place of God, but he's talking about the skies, the heavens above us, okay? The atmosphere and space and stars and planets. And so as his eyes are turned upwards and he is looking at all that God has created above him, he is moved to pen these words as the Holy Spirit would use him. And I think it does three things. I think it does more than three things, but we're going to talk about three sub-points under this first point about looking up at the heavens. One, I think it gives them perspective, and it will give us perspective today. Secondly, I think it's going to give us purpose, and I think it gave David purpose. And thirdly, it gave him pleasure. So perspective, purpose, and pleasure. First of all, perspective. He's looking at the sky. And in the daytime, as you look up, and I don't know the last time you did this, I want to suggest it to you as a as an exercise. That when you walk outside, that you stop for a minute and you just look around you at the sky. And in the daytime, you see the bright blues when the sun is out. And you see the clouds often, the clouds that are in the sky and the beauty of them. And you might see the birds flying by and you see the sun. And even when the sun is hid, we still feel the heat of it, right? The heat of the sun. We see the beauty of the sunrise and we see the beauty of the sunset and all that there is. And I could speak on it for days, but it truly is a beautiful and majestic thing to look upon. And David looked at it. And at night, we look up and we see the moon and the brightness thereof. And we know that the moon itself is not shining, but that it's merely a reflection of the sun. And even when the sun is away, its light is reflecting off the moon and giving light to the earth where we live. And we see the stars and just the innumerable number of them. We cannot count how many that there are. And we know that even as the stars that we see, that there is galaxies upon galaxies beyond those stars that we can't even fix our eyes upon. It's massive. It's immense. It is beautiful. Have you ever laid upon your back outside at night and just stopped in the quiet of the night and looked at all that God has created in his heavens? I believe David was looking up when he said, the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows his handiwork. In Isaiah 40, the prophet said something very similar. He said, lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things. Okay, look up. He says, lift up your eyes on high and behold who hath created these things, that brings out their host by number and calleth them all by name by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. He goes on, he says, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Listen, he says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. I was just going to read one verse, but I want to keep reading. He says, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary.
they shall walk and not faint. The prophet Isaiah said, look, turn your eyes to the heavens. Consider the one that has created the ends of the earth and the ends of all that is created in the universe. Creation declares the glory of its creator in its size and its immensity, right? Thinking about how just the size of itself and that God has created all of these things that we can't wrap our finite minds around the immensity of the universe, and yet God, by the power of his word, spoke it into existence. Creation declares the glory of God in its order. The universe has an order about it that is absolutely amazing. I don't know the exact numbers, but if the sun was just a little farther away from the earth, we would all freeze completely. If the sun was a little closer to the earth, just a little bit, we would all burn up. Yet the sun is right where God desires it to be so that life can flourish on this planet. And it's on a circuit. You know, with all of the advancement of technology and science and how many years it took for everyone to realize that we revolved around the sun and that the sun was on a circuit in the orbits of the planets. And yet here in Psalm 19, he's talking about those very thing, talking about the sun. Its going forth is from the end of the heaven and its circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof, right? It's amazing. The way that the universe has been created and the way that the stars and the planets have been hung. And the way that the clouds move and that the rain is produced and all that the atmosphere is doing with the weather and all of these things and the beautiful order of how God has created things. It speaks to the glory of its creator. And the creation speaks. And a creation says, I must have a creator. Its beauty speaks of the glory of its creator. I hope that you get out every once in a while and you're able to look upon the vast and different landscapes of this world and how God has crafted this place. It is beautiful. I hope that those things are not lost on you. I hope my children never take those things for granted when we're able to travel and when we're able to see the mountains and their majesty and the ocean and its pure power and all that it's doing and the plains and the fields and all that the world is and all that the sky speaks of, its beauty and its grandeur declare the glory of its creator God. And I'm thankful for that. It reminds us that God is all powerful. That he's all-knowing, and that he's always present, right? And I don't know about you, I know those things to be true, but I need to be reminded of them. Because oftentimes the circumstances of my life, the immediacy of the moment overshadows all of those things. And I need to stop and know that he is God, right? The moment is so overwhelming and the circumstances are flooding my mind and my thought that I just need to stop for a moment and get a little bit of perspective. That God is all-powerful, that God is all-knowing, and that God is always present, and the immensity of my situation all of a sudden gets its proper perspective. I'm in the hands of an almighty God. I'm in the hands of an almighty God, and no matter what the circumstance may come to fruition in, I know that my life is in his hands. The psalmist said in Psalm 31, I trust in you. You are my God for my life. Is in your hands. We need perspective often. I need perspective often. What greater security to the believer than to know that our lives are in his hands, the God that created all that we see. Secondly, I think it gives purpose when we look up. Not only does it give us perspective, but it gives purpose, right? Much of modern science today wants to tell us that we are just a collection of molecules suspended. Right? That we're here over billions of years, an unfathomable chance that we have come to existence right now. But when we look and see all that God has created and the order thereof and that it speaks to the glory of its creator, we realize that there is a much more to this world than just the menial tasks of our day. Right? More than just the waking up and going to work and getting some food and going to bed and the cycle of all those things, that there is something bigger than all of that taking place. And whether you are a believer or a non-believer, whatever nation that you may be from or whatever color your skin, we all look and see the creation and its voice is not lost on us, and we know that there is something greater in the world, that there is purpose, there is meaning, and it has been woven into the fabric of our very creation. Purpose. God shows us that we're more than that, that we're created with value and that we're created with purpose. And the psalmist in Psalm 139 tells us that we were woven together in our mother's wombs, that we were knitted together by God, and that every human being was created by God and for God to glorify Him and to enjoy His presence forever. You know, it said there in the psalm, day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Right? It transcends language barriers. It transcends borders. It transcends nations and peoples and all of the characteristics and things that divide in this world. The voice of creation and the revelation of God and all that He has done speaks to everyone. Paul said in Romans 1 that it leaves us without excuse. The light of God in creation. I'm thankful that this life is more than random coincidences, that I have more than molecules suspended in time and space, and that there's more to this world, that when my life ends, I just don't return to the dust of the ground. I just don't return to being molecules. Certainly we return to the dust of the ground, as the Bible teaches us. But there is a life beyond this world. So it gives us perspective when we look up. It gives us purpose. I want to read just a little bit in Romans 1 as I quoted a little bit. So why then does so much of the world deny the reality of a creator? If the voice is so clear and it speaks to everyone, regardless of nation or background or tongue, if it speaks so vividly and clearly, then why is it that so much of the world denies and rejects the truths that God created it? Well, I think Paul speaks on that very thing and could have even had Psalm 19 in his mind as he was penning these things. But in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, he says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." Now listen, that is the inevitable response of a holy and a good God. Okay, sometimes we read about that, about the wrath of God being revealed against unrighteousness, and we think, oh, God is a God of wrath. But listen, God's wrath is arise by one thing and one thing only, and that is sin. That is evil. And He is good by nature. And so a good God inevitably responds to evil and sin by His wrath or His anger. And so that is the inevitable response of a good God towards sin. And He says His wrath is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And that translation is a little hard to understand. What it is saying is that men suppress the truth. They suppress it. And he goes on, he says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. It is revealed to all. For God hath showed it unto them. Listen, in our very being, in our creation, God has revealed the things of eternity inside of us. That is why people ask those big existential questions of why am I here and why do I exist and where am I going, right? You don't have to be a religious person to ask those questions. Everyone has that in us. And God speaks to us and has revealed Himself to us throughout His creation. And it says, listen, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God has revealed Himself, and the glory of the heavens has spoke, and it has spoke clearly, and it transcends nations and tongues and the barriers of this world, that we are without excuse. So it gives us perspective, it gives us purpose, and it gives pleasure, doesn't it? For the child of God, Doesn't it just give pleasure, just pure joy? I hope that you've experienced that if you're God's child this morning, where you've stopped from the busyness of life and the world that is around you and all of the decisions and the things and the circumstances, and you've just been still. And you've looked at the glorious handiwork of God as it declares the glory of the Lord, and you've just known the joy of knowing that God. That God that has created the world and that is all-powerful and all-knowing and always present, that He loved you so much that while you were still a sinner, He sent Christ to die for your sins. That He desired in creating you to have a relationship with you, and that He sent His Son so that that relationship might be restored once again. And as I look at all that He has done and all that He reveals, as I've had the privilege to travel a little bit in my life and look upon the glorious scenes of this world, joy wells in my soul to have a relationship and a knowledge of the One who created it all. And church, He's holding you today. You might feel like you're on your last straw. You may feel like you're about to fall off the edge. You may be gripping on by your fingertips to the Lord. But I want you to know today that if you're His child, He keeps you by the power of His might, and you're in His hand today. There is great joy and security to the believer in knowing those things. And that you're created to please Him. And to share the good news of Jesus Christ and the redemptive plan of God with the world. Let's move on. I spent longer than I thought with the first one looking up, but it's a good place to be, right? Looking up. Secondly, let's look down, verses 7 through 11. Let's reread those real quick. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. This is a beautiful portion of Scripture. I mean, it all is. The math teacher in me loves this because it's nice and in order, right? You can diagram this out. I encourage you to do it sometime, right? Go in and diagram it out. It talks about the law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the judgment of the Lord, right? And it talks about what it does and the blessings that it gives. And so I'm not going to spend all the time to diagram that for you. It's pretty clear, and I hope that you do it sometime on your own time. But these are all synonyms, really. Those six things I talked about are synonyms, and they're talking about God's Word. It's talking about the revealed will of God in His Word, okay? And how God reveals Himself not only through creation, okay? Creation is a big and a bright light that leaves us without excuse, but that is not the only light that God has given to reveal Himself to man. He has revealed Himself in a greater degree of certainty in His Word. He has revealed who He is and what His purpose is and His Son Jesus Christ in the written Word of God. And we live in a day and age where we have the full canon of Scripture and God is revealing Himself through the light of His Word. What a glorious blessing that is to be able to have His Word. And how much do we neglect it? And how much does it gather dust on our shelves? And how much of us only hear it on Sunday morning? Or even worse than that, every once in a while on a Sunday morning. We need God's Word to feed us daily and often. We need it. And I cannot emphasize that enough. Myself and all of us, we are malnourished. And when we are malnourished, we cannot be or do that which God has called us to do. We need the Word of God to nourish our hearts and our minds that we might go out and carry out His will in our lives. God has revealed Himself in His Word. He talked about some of the things that come forth from it. He said it converts the soul, makes wise the simple, rejoices the heart, enlightens the eyes, and endures forever. Listen, my prayer for this church
God's desire for us. One is that the Holy Spirit would take the truths of the gospel, that we take the word of God and it would penetrate into the darkness of our cold, dry hearts, right? It's that sinners would sit under the sound of the gospel and they would hear the word of truth and they would come to see who Jesus is and what he has done for them. And God's word will penetrate the hardness of the heart and it will convert the soul. The truths of God have the power to do those things. The word, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to all that believe. And so my prayer is the Holy Spirit would take the truths of God and penetrate the darkness of the hearts of men. I pray that we would be wise, right? That we would have the ability to take the knowledge that we have and apply it properly in the world in which we live. It's one thing to have a lot of knowledge. It's another thing to be able to use it the way that it should be used, right? There's a lot of people that have a whole lot more knowledge than me and a whole lot of people with a wealth of knowledge beyond belief, yet they have no wisdom about how to use it in the world and how to carry it out to fulfill the purposes in which they've been created to do. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? And so I pray that this church and myself and all of us would have wisdom to carry and take the application of knowledge into our lives and to carry it out in a way that brings God glory, that brings unbelievers to faith in Jesus Christ, and that helps those that are in need. Joy rejoices the heart. God desires for his children to be a people of joy, to know real and secure joy in our hearts that isn't dictated so much by the circumstances of our lives. And let's be real about this. We all go through hard times. There is a time to weep tears. There is a time to be sad. There is a time for those things. Solomon tells us that in the book of Ecclesiastes. There's time for that. So don't be unreasonable today. But the overarching picture is if you're a child of the King, if you've been adopted into the bloodline of Jesus Christ, heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ, then the sufferings of this world cannot even be compared to the glory that is in store for us. And there should be a joy within our hearts that even in the midst of hardship, we should be able to rejoice in knowing that we are His. And that ultimately this world is a fleeting mist. And one day we will be where righteousness dwells, in the presence of the Lord, and where there is, the fullness of joy is in the presence of the Lord, the Bible teaches us. And I believe we experience that to a degree here in this world, and we'll experience it to its fullness one day when we're seeing Him face to face. Real deep joy. I want to see the world right, don't you? As you look at the world, as you watch the news, as you see the wars that are being waged, and you see the politics that are going on, and you see all the things that are happening in the world, and the things that the people are saying are good, and what culture says is right, and what culture says is wrong, and all of this stuff that's going on, it's overwhelming, isn't it? And trying to sort out what is right and what is wrong and all of those things, and nothing is sure, right? Nothing is steadfast. Even the people that you think you can depend on are merely men, right? They're merely women. They're merely people. And sometimes the things they say, they fail to come to fruition. And some of it's true and some of it's wrong and everything seems so shaky. And the voice of culture and the voice of media continues to penetrate our minds and our hearts even when we don't think that it is. It is shaping the things that we see and the way that we look at the world. I want to see the world as Jesus saw the world. I want to have eyes of faith and see through a biblical lens as I look and I interpret the world and the events that are happening and the decisions that I have to make. I want to see the world as Christ would see it and as the Lord has revealed it to us in His Word. I want to endure to the end. Don't you? Don't you want to finish the fight? Finish the race? Fight the good fight? I want to endure to the end, and I believe that His children will endure to the end, but I want to finish strong, and I want my life to be pure and clean before the Lord, and though I know that I will battle with sin and my flesh still struggles, and there will be a daily battle in those things, I pray that the Holy Spirit would make alive this flesh, okay?
The spirit that dwells within us, Paul said in Romans 8, can quicken the mortal flesh. It can make alive the flesh, that we can no longer be a servant of sin, but be a servant of Jesus Christ. And we can live in a way that is enduring and that is a testimony of Jesus Christ before those in our circles of influence, so that when we tell them the good news of Jesus Christ, they don't just shut us down. Because if our profession doesn't match our lives, it's not going to have a lot of weight in it. And so I pray that I would endure to the end, that I would live a clean and pure life before the Lord, and that the Holy Spirit would enable me to do those things. So how do we do that? Right? How is the soul converted, and how is wisdom gained? How is there true joy that it rises above the circumstances of our lives that is true? How do we see the world through the correct lens and be able to interpret the situations of life the way that the Lord would? How do we endure faithfully into the end, pure and clean? Well, it's right here in 7 through 11. It is by being nourished by the Word of God, allowing the Holy Spirit to take the revealed will of God and implant it into our minds and into our hearts, and to transform us into what He wants to be. We need this voice speaking into our head and heart. And the problem is so much, church, that we have 95% culture speaking into our minds and only 5% or less of God's Word. And it is changing who we are and how we see the world and how we react and make decisions. We must be nourished by God's Word. Listen, let's just read it one more time. The law of the Lord is perfect. You know all that stuff that's shaky and independable and false half-truths and you don't know if you can trust it? Listen, this is perfect. It is complete. It is whole. It is sure. It is a steadfast rock in which we can stand upon. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous all together. So we've looked up the majesty of God and all that He has created. We've looked down at the word that He has given us, that He has spoken and that He has preserved, and that He is revealing His will to our lives and to our hearts and speaking truth to us. We've looked down at His word. Lastly, I want to look in. Let's look inside of ourselves. You see, when you look up and get perspective and purpose and pleasure, and when you look down and your eyes are enlightened and your soul is converted and you're made wise and you're made to rejoice and you're made to endure, then you can look in. And that's what David does. Speaking of the testimony of the Lord and the fear of the Lord and all of these things, he said, "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb." It's better than honey, and it's better than money. I heard a preacher say that once, and I took it. Right? The things of the Lord, the will of God, His Word, it's better than anything you can imagine. Talking about the finer things of life, that so many people take all of their time and energy to pursue the things of wealth and the things of power. And listen, I don't care how much money's in your bank account this morning. I don't. You could be the richest person in the world here or the poorest person. That's not the purpose of this. The reality is, though, that in comparison to God and His Word and His revealed purpose in our lives, it doesn't even compare. And David said, listen, more to be desired are the judgments of God and the truths of God and the law of God and all of those things. More to be desired are they than the gold and the money and the wealth and the finer things of honey. He says, oh, there are much more to be desired. So listen today, young people, what are you pursuing in your life? What is your goal? What is the carrot that sets out before you? The Bible says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And if your treasure is in the gaining in this world and the moving up of the power structure of this life, then listen, that is where your heart will be. That is where your life will be lived. But listen, make Jesus Christ your treasure. Make Him the ultimate purpose of your existence and your life, and then all of the other things of life seem to have purpose in Him, right? Now I'm going to school not just to teach mathematics, but I am going into the mission field where I stand before 100 or more kids on a daily basis, and I am able to reflect the person and the work of Jesus Christ as he has worked in my life. Right? It gives me new meaning. I'm not just there for a paycheck, so when the frustrations come and the kids start to get on my nerves and I want to react to those things, I remember that I am to show us compassion and I am to show love and to show them the person of Jesus Christ. When I'm doing all of these things that were once mundane in my life, now they have reason and they have purpose and they have meaning because I am an ambassador for Jesus Christ. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter than the honey in the honeycomb. He says, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is good reward. He asks the question, who can understand his heirs? Who can understand his heirs? Again, when we try to self-diagnose, we miss the mark. We need the Lord to speak into our lives and to reveal the truths of our hearts. He said, who can understand his heirs? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sin. The secret faults, the things that I do in error, the things that I do in sin that aren't known to others and sometimes aren't even known to myself, right? There's times when we do wrong and sin and we aren't even aware of them because of the callousness of our own hearts towards sin. And he says, cleanse me of those things, right? Make me pure of those secret sins and faults. And he doesn't leave it at that, but he says also the presumptuous sins, those sins that I know what God has said to be right and yet I go out and do the exact opposite of it. And he says, cleanse me of those things. Keep me back from those presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. I think that's a lot right there. Have you ever had sin to have dominion over your life? Some of you may be sitting in this very room this very day, and sin is having dominion over your life. And you might be saying, oh no, right? I don't do this church stuff, right? Oh, you're just servants. You're serving someone. You're a slave to someone. I do my own thing, and I live my own way, and I make my own decisions, right? And yet little do they know that their life is in chains and they are in dominion to sin. And they may think that they are serving themselves, but they are serving the lust of their flesh and sin has dominion over their lives. And while you might pass on for a little bit in a temporary moment of pleasure, those things ultimately bring death and destruction and brokenness to our lives. And many of us in these pews today can speak to that very truth. I don't want sin to have dominion over my life. When I look at people and when I choose the decisions that I make and when I go home to my wife and when I teach my children, I do not want sin to have dominion over me. I want my mind to think like Jesus thinks. I want my decisions to be pure and to endure forever. I want to live a life that people see me and see that there is something bigger inside of me. There is more than the flesh of that man. That there is something that dwells in him that makes him more than what he is. And I can point my finger towards the cross of Calvary and say it's the man Jesus Christ that took a sinner that was in darkness and pulled him into the light. That he was in his sin, that I was in my sins. And he forgave me. Listen. God is good, and I want that to be the testimony of my life. I don't want sin to have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, the psalmist says. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Listen, we're not going to live a life like that just because we make a decision one day that that's what we're going to do. Okay? If we try to do it with our own power and own wisdom, we will fail miserably. We need the grace of God. We need God's grace to empower us. We need to be upon our knees asking God to give us the strength and wisdom to live out our days in a way that would be pleasing to Him and that would be pointing others towards Jesus. And then we get to 14, and I'll be done. I appreciate your patience. I know I've been lengthy this morning. He says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. My strength and my Redeemer. May God bless us in this way. As His church, as the body of Christ, as His hands and feet that go out into this world and try to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ to those that we come in contact with, not only by the words that we speak, but by the lives that we live, I pray that God would help us to let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart
be acceptable in His sight. We look up, we look in, down, we look in. May God bless us. I hope that something that was said today in His Word has been a blessing to you. Let's have a prayer. God, we come to You once again today. And normally at this time, our custom is to have a song and meditate on the Word of God and to sing praises. And we'll probably do those things, God. But I felt the need to pray and to ask that You would just bless this people. I pray, Lord, that Your Word would nourish our hearts, that it would remain in us. It's easy right now when we're surrounded by people that think the same way and want the same things, that we get excited and we get ready and we got new zeal for You, Lord. But when Monday morning rolls around and we're back in the minority and we're back surrounded by those that surround us at our daily lives, God, may Your Word, may it just rest in our minds and our hearts. And may we, God, pray for strength and wisdom. And may we depend on You, Lord, as our guide and help. Lord, as I look out this morning, I know there is many needs in this congregation. Needs that I cannot meet. Needs that we as individuals cannot meet. But God, we need Your strength and help to do those things. And so I pray that You would speak to our lives. And I know, Lord, even though I said I can't meet Him and we can't meet Him, I know sometimes Your instrument is human means, that You take people and put them in our lives to carry out Your work. And so I pray that my eyes would be open and my heart would be ready and willing to be obedient to the will, Your will that You reveal to me, that I would bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Lord, You are good. I pray this afternoon as we walk out of this place that we would look up. There would be no end to what we can see. What we can see is so finite, Lord. I can only see so far. The immensity of the universe might just put us in awe. And God, may we rest in You. There's been so much turmoil in some of the lives that are amongst us this morning with illness and with trial. God, I pray that You would allow them to rest in Your hands, knowing that You are almighty, that You are good, that You are awesome, and that we are in Your hands. Lord, may we cherish Your Word. May we hear it when it is being proclaimed. May we make the sacrifices of life to be able to be there when it is being proclaimed and when it is being taught. May we make it a commitment and a priority in our lives. And not only when it is being taught and when it is being proclaimed, but in our own private studies, God, may we read it and allow it to nourish our hearts. We are a malnourished church and we can see the effects of it, dear Lord. And so, God, I pray that You would feed us. Pray that You would feed us and grow us and help us to carry out Your work. And I know that's going to come by the nourishment of Your Word. And may we see ourselves in a clear light today. And God, I am thankful that if we confess our sins, You are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we fall at Your feet today, thankful for all that You are. And we pray as David prayed that the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts would be acceptable in Your sight. Our Lord and our Redeemer, we love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.